soar above with those who dare to look at the world from a new perspective and ask, what if? You're listening to The Altitude Podcast from Eagleview.
Hi, I'm Piers Dormeyer, CEO of Eagleview Technologies. On this show, we bring you stories of pioneers who are redefining the boundaries of their fields. Today, we're joined by Samuel Adeyemo, co-founder and CEO at Duranta, a company that develops software for designing and maintaining beautiful outdoor spaces. From Wall Street to entrepreneurship, Samuel's journey is defined by bold pivots and purposeful leadership. As we discuss leading through volatility, whether that's market disruption, climate urgency, or social change, Samuel shares how purpose, innovation, and a global mindset can fuel impact far beyond the boardroom. Sam, welcome to the podcast. Thanks so much for making the time today.
Thank you for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
Yeah, cool. Well, let's start with you and maybe a little bit of your background. You're a serial entrepreneur. Walk us through that, what you're doing now and where you came from.
Yeah, great. So now I am the co-founder and CEO of Duranta. And Duranta's mission as a company is to help create a more beautiful world, which sounds very big and amorphous. And it's like, well, why are you here? Well, the way we're doing it is by building a product that makes it easy for landscapers and lawn care professionals to design, install, and maintain beautiful outdoor spaces. So that's what I'm currently doing. It's a startup. We're based out of Seattle, Washington, got a group of really, really fantastic people. And we've been at it for just over a year and gaining a lot of great traction. But you can't really understand the story of Duranta without going back actually 15 years at this point. I can't believe I'm saying that. 15 years going back and way back to when I was in grad school at Stanford and I started my last company. I guess that qualifies me as a serial entrepreneur. When I started my last company, that company was called Aurora. And what we did was we used geospatial data to design solar projects and installations remotely without having to travel to the site. So the whole idea back then was that all you needed was an address, put in a number of things, click on a map a couple of times, and you could create a full digital twin of the environment. And you could figure out how many solar panels would fit on the property, how much energy will produce, how much money will save the customer. Now, as I mentioned, I was in grad school at the time, and we didn't really have funding back then. And so what we did was, the way we built the company was by getting the only people who were willing to work for a pack of Doritos and Red Bull and equity, which was undergrads. And so we started the company with them. And 10 years later, we grew it to the largest solar software company in the United States and actually around the world. What it means is the majority of solar that you see that's installed was designed in some way, shape, or form from Aurora. So why is that relevant? Well, fast forward to about 6 years ago, finally passed the stage of surviving off of the Doritos and Red Bull. And I actually had a landscaping project I wanted to get done and called a landscaper or a couple, just found them online. And I really couldn't believe what they had to go through. Of course, a whole bunch don't show up. Other people have to travel all the way to the site to take measurements, and only one of them is going to win the job. None of them could really give me a visual of what it would look like. Or if they did, there would be a special design fee because they had to program it all in CAD. And varying degrees of this problem are experienced by either landscapers or lawn care professionals. So the seed was sown. The good news is all of these folks who are in undergrad have now gone on to get PhDs. Some of them are professors. These are mathematicians, physicists, computer scientists. And we just basically banded together to, as I said, start building Duranta. So that's what we're doing, having a lot of fun.
We talked about this when you told me about Duranta, but it's such a no-brainer. I mean, first of all, we work with Aurora, as you know, and anybody who works in solar knows Aurora, and that's just been an incredible growth in what you guys were able to do there, continue to do. But taking that geospatial data, that imagery and derivative data and being able to put that to work in landscaping is such a no-brainer, right? So much opportunity, I think, to deploy AI and grow and whatnot. But yeah, talk to me a little bit about Duranta. So how does that platform work? How are you thinking about taking software into a fairly, I guess, where software is fairly nascent in that landscaping, hardscaping space?
If I was to give you the 10-second pitch, I would basically say whether you're a landscaper or a lawn care professional, right? What Duranta allows you to do is in less than 10 seconds and for the cost of a few cents, immediately measure all aspects of the property. You'll get the property boundary, you'll get the calculation of what your lawn area is, your beds, your trees, your hedges, your shrubs, your buildings, your pools, your patios, your surfaces, all of that in less than 10 seconds. And the key is the degree of accuracy with it, which we're able to do that. It's approaching the point where it's actually better than sometimes I look at something, I'm like, oh, that's a shadow. And you look more carefully or you go to the site and you realize it's actually a planted bed and our AI can pull that up. Thanks largely to our partnership with EagleView. One of the first things I learned once I left Aurora and came to do this new thing is we wanted to work with the best in order to generate the best results. So that's the 10-second pitch, but it only starts there. If I got past someone who was like, oh, that's interested in telling me more, I would say that, well, everything you need to run your business, we're attempting to build or have built. So for example, if you're at the point where, okay, I've got my measurements, now I need to create an estimate or a proposal for you, you tap on a few places, make a few adjustments, and in less than 5 minutes, you can generate a proposal that looks really good and makes your customer actually want to buy it. It's also mobile first. So it means that you don't have to be driving around all day trying to sell customers and then going back to the office to create a quote. You can close them right from the driveway. There's no reason for them to not sign right there. So in order to facilitate that, we also have to have other tools such as an invoicing platform that is powerful, built for landscaping, syncs with QuickBooks, all of those things that you'd be looking for, a proposal tool, basically signature tracking and activity tracking, the whole gamut. So all of that is infrastructure to allow you to actually, again, design, which really we're calling it design, but it's click on a few things and the design is done for you, selling the property, and of course, maintaining the property later on and maintaining relationships as well with your customers. So it's a lot of fun to just bring a lot of the experiences, engineering know-how, and at the end of the day, just desire and passion for this particular industry all together into something that people love.
Pivoting a little bit, obviously, volatility and tariffs and the economy has been all the talk and it's on everybody's mind. How are you thinking about the macroeconomics maybe impacting that industry and really you as a young company founder at that really critically important stage?
Yeah, that is a great question that is top of mind for all of us because there's just a lot of uncertainty and a lot of things that you can't control. And the outcomes seem pretty extreme. In the landscaping industry, I mean, most of the concerns I see have to do with, well, yes, first, the general state of the economy. Are our big companies that use us for lawn care and everything else going to say, well, do we need you every week or could we get away with every 2 weeks? Or if you're doing a big renovation or a big project, are your customers going to say, let me put that on hold? And then on the other side has to do with what's going to happen with labor dynamics. Labor is already the tightest problem for a lot of landscaping companies, whether you're a small 5-person operation or a 100-person operation, both of whom are customers of ours. That's usually top of mind. So those are all questions. Unfortunately, I'm just talking about questions because I don't have the answers. I don't think anybody does. The way I manage our company and our business is, number one, have a plan. Number two, follow the plan. That is the hardest part because what ends up happening is you have a plan and then that old adage, no plan survives its first contact with the enemy, right? Like, try and follow that plan.
Mike Tyson had another version of that as well.
Yeah. So we've got punched in the face, yeah. Right? Yeah. Well, if you get punched in the face, right, don't like now running all over the place. Just acknowledge it's going to happen. And if you're going to change things, don't have no plan, have a new plan. So I'm not saying like follow rigidly what you had. But part of the plan should be that if things change, you're going to change your plan. So that's number one. And then number two, it's really like, don't focus or worry about things that you can't control. The good thing with these former Dorito eating, Red Bull crunching engineers and folks like that is we grew up in an industry that was way more volatile than this. At least landscaping's been around since, I don't know, the Mesopotamian era in some way, shape or form. We're used to it. We're used to kind of like, okay, there's so many things we can't control. What can we control? We can control the quality of the code we write. We can control the speed at which we iterate our product to solve our problems for our customers. The joke was that our toxic trait is we think we can ship, which is a term for write code and deliver products out of any problem. But as long as we have that mentality, number one, have a plan. Number two, stick to the plan. But part of that plan should be reevaluate. And then number three, control what you can. So far, it's worked for us. By the way, in spite of all the headlines, the industry's doing great. That's actually been a big surprise.
We've reached a new cruising altitude here at this point in the discussion. And I'd like to take a moment to tell you, our listeners, about a very exciting new capability we recently launched at EagleView. EagleView One is our new premium digital user experience. It offers a unified access point to the full power of EagleView's unrivaled 3D visualizations, imagery, and analytics, and puts powerful AI, precise 3D models, and all the tools and data that EagleView offers all in one easy-to-use, modern platform to help make your projects smoother, faster, and more efficient. Built to scale into the future with your business needs in mind, EagleView One will be continually updated to bring you new technologies and to further enhance the ability to integrate EagleView's extensive and powerful asset intelligence into your existing workflows. To learn more about the transformational experience EagleView One offers, visit eagleviewone.com. That's eagleviewone.com.
That's great. And yeah, you can't ship your way out of every problem. Although I'd argue that you can sell your way out of just about every problem, but that's a whole other line of conversation. I had a really great conversation a few weeks ago. We're going to publish it, this one, on another podcast with Emma Roloff. I don't even know how to describe her. She's the thought leader, influencer in the insurance industry. And I was asking her the same question, because digital transformation, and especially when you're talking about large enterprises, carriers, getting them to adopt software, especially in volatile times, is really difficult. So I asked her the same question. How do you do digital transformation right now in that context? She had such a great answer, and it was, rarely is the answer standing still, right? You got to pick a direction, you got to run with it. And I think when we think about whether it's landscaping or roofing contractors or adjusters or fill in the blank, but particularly field service, when you've got software that delivers incredible ROIs and reduces soft costs, it can actually be that solution that actually enables you to weather some of these storms. It's kind of changing that perspective, I think, which is really important. And we're just incredibly grateful to be a part of it. But just pivoting again, outside of just the market conditions, your people, right? So obviously, when you're feeding folks Doritos and Red Bulls, and we still have some student loan money to live off of, and the economy's maybe a little bit better 15 years ago, how are you retaining talent? How are you getting people to take the leap and join this startup that doesn't maybe have the ability to do all the things versus going and taking the safe job at some huge company?
I'll take it a step further. How do you get them to leave the safe company? Because in many cases, in addition to being 10 years further along just in age, they've advanced in their careers and yeah, they have that opportunity. I'm always reticent to talk about leadership principles or things like that, because who am I to say that I'm a great leader, right? But what I can say is I actually heard the very best definition of leadership that I ever have at a landscaping conference from a guy whose job it was to motivate a crew of people to get up early in the morning during the hottest part of the summer and to go out there working all day in their safety equipment and stuff, doing really hard labor. And the hard labor is tending lawns, carrying heavy stuff, maybe installing things, not glamorous labor. And at the end of the day, feel good about themselves. And he emphasized things like what we say about our company: you're building something beautiful, you're creating a more beautiful, it isn't about you're cutting grass or you're mulching beds or you're paving things, because that may be literally what you're doing, but the end effect is what you're doing. And what he said, as far as leadership is concerned, is he said that leadership is getting a group of people to do something because they want to. I may be paraphrasing. We have a blog article. We have an article on our blog called Leadership Lessons, and it comes from Ermenildo. That's the name of the guy who said that. I've been through all these leadership courses, grad school, all sorts of stuff, had the best speakers. But the reason this was the best definition for me was that last part: because they want to, not because they have to, not because they need a paycheck, not because they're forced to, but because they want to. And I think the end part of because they want to is really inspiring them about what the end outcome could be. And also just creating the right type of environment where you lead with integrity. Yes, I don't have all the answers, but I can promise you that I'm going to be the last person here every day and the first person in. And just letting them know that, look, this volatility comes and goes, right? But at the end of the day, as long as we're consistent to our mission, we'll be okay. So I guess the short answer to you is I think it comes down to leadership at that point. And what I learned from Ermenildo is that leadership is about motivating people, right? And really getting them to do something that they want to do, right? Not so much that you want them to do.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great answer. And I think consistency and where you've been in the past, your reputation precedes you too, right? And now I think prospective employees have means of fact-checking. They'll fact-check your ass and make sure that you're living up to your promise, which I don't think is a bad thing. I think that's the first cuss word I've dropped on this podcast. So
I don't know. In this day and age, the bar for cuss words is a lot higher.
I don't even know that that one really counts that much, but my daughter would fine me for it anyway. So they would take my CEO card away if I didn't ask the question. I know Duranta employs a lot of AI kind of natively. So maybe we can talk a little bit about that. But where do you see Gen AI coming into the landscaping space? Because it's not an area that you immediately think about being quote unquote transformed, or my least favorite word, just disrupted, right? But where do you see AI coming in and taking that industry over the next couple of years?
I think that AI, in a nutshell, has the potential to make landscaping businesses incredibly profitable. I think it has the potential of taking something that's like a 10% margin business, barely making it every year, working all hours of the day, missing ball games and things like that, and giving you back time because the time that you do spend is productive. That's at a high level. The thing that's also awesome about AI in this space is, unlike other spaces, you're not worried that if it ever gets good enough, your particular job is in jeopardy. In this case, it is only good. The better it is only good for you, unless there's a whole world that I'm just not thinking of. So specifically the way we're employing AI, and just to give you some background, because they'll take away my CEO card if I don't brag about the team. This AI team that we have are, again, people who we knew back then. One of them is a professor who's won Best Paper Award multiple times at the most prestigious computer vision conference and other folks like that. And what they've done is develop that technology that I shared with you, right? You put in an address. Well, that's it. You hit a button. It does all of these measurements for you. If you're a lawn care professional, right, who would drive to the site, this is going to save you half an hour minimum per job. So you're quoting, I don't know, 10 jobs. That's 1.5 hours immediately that you can be spending on other things. So that's one example. And then, of course, you can take it to the extreme for people who are doing big commercial fields. In fact, that's where it's most popular. You have a 10, 15 acre plot and get all these measurements instantly. You almost don't have to prepare. You just show up at the job site and you're ready. So that's how we're currently using it. And that's been exciting. We train our own models. It's not a plug-in, so it's original technology, which I don't say for a vanity metric, but it gives us a lot of flexibility to take it in all sorts of other directions. I'm not going to share just yet. You'll have to invite me back for me to talk about what's coming next.
Yeah.
I'll leave a little hint in there for you.
Yeah, no, I always take the bait. It's all really interesting stuff. So maybe I'll start to wrap us up, but what are you most excited about given all these new tools over the next 3 years?
Well, I'll say two things, right? I'm excited about our partnership. I'm excited about some of the stuff we've already been able to build. Super Zoom, that's just awesome. Being able to zoom 8 times further using Eagle View, right? To be able to go and see pixel level accurate artifacts on a property or segments in a property. We couldn't have done that in the way we did without our relationship. So that's really fantastic. So I'm excited about leveraging the strengths of key partners we have in order to create really cool things. And that's just a flavor of the type of technology things I'm excited about. But on the other side, I really am excited about the fact that we will help create, ideally for a successful, more beautiful world. I think there'll be a lot of people who get to have more beautiful properties. I think there'll be a lot of companies that get more profitable and more beautiful businesses. And if we can do that, yes, of course, leveraging technology, but it's for a purpose. It's not a homework project. It has to be productive for these folks. If we can do that, then I'll be very, very happy.
Create a more beautiful world. I don't think we could land on a better close than that. So thanks again for coming on.
Thanks a lot, Pierce.
That's all for this episode of the Altitude Podcast from Eagle View. Again,
I want to extend a huge thank you to Sam at EMO for joining me today. And thank you for tuning in. If you're enjoying the show, don't forget to subscribe, give us a follow, and tell your friends to listen in. I'm Piers Dormeyer. See you next time on the Altitude Podcast.